If I have to ask anybody here tonight for some advice on marriage or relationships, now all the women go, yes. The men go, why? DJ, why are you doing this to us? I'm sure we're going to get a lot of advice. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to choose a side because I want to walk out here alive. My wife is going to just, I don't even want to look down there. So, but we'll get a lot of advice from people. And the one thing for me, and the one thing I want to touch on tonight is just communication. So the rest of the men that didn't, now you're going to go, oh, here we go. We're going to talk. Of course, it's a known fact. A study has been done. Maybe there's a new study, I'm sure. But 2013, they made a study. Women speak how many words in a day? 20,000. It's a study. Okay, in the USA, they did it there because all the studies are there. The tornadoes are there, volcanoes, everything is there. Okay, so they did the study in America, but it's a study that showed that women speaks per day 20,000 words. How many words does a man speak? 7,000. Okay, 7,000. It's this. Okay. So, wifey, when your man comes home from work and you ask him, how was your day? How did things go? And he goes, fine. No, but what did they say? What happened? Nothing. No, but how's things? That's okay. You know what? His 7,000 words is finished. His last 5 words was to the guy, fill it up, 95. Finished. The tank is empty. The good news is, your wife has got 10,000 words left just for you. She can't wait for you to come home, because she's got to share with you, she's got to talk, she's got to... There we go. And you're going, why? Not my wife, she's not like that, don't worry. She's not like that. There's a joke about the two farmers. They meet every Saturday, they bride together, and then afterwards they go sit on the stoop and they look at the millies or the cows, I don't know. So they stare at this and they take a sip of their coffee and they go, yeah. He looks at his neighbor and the neighbor goes, yeah. After a while, the one neighbor moves away, gets a new one. And he thought, well, let's just carry on with this ritual. And he invites him over and they bride, go sit on the stoop, stare at the millies, drink coffee and go, yeah. So the other neighbor goes, yeah, nah. That night, the wife says, yes, so what do you think? He says, no, that guy talks way too much. Typical man, eh? Guys, I wanna touch on our communication to God. It's called prayer. And it's something that's just close to my heart and just something theologians write books on it. You can do Bible college courses on this for a year. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to take a fresh loaf of bread and just put it in front of your nose. That's all. Just so that you can go, wow, I want to start praying. I want to actually communicate. I actually want to talk more to God. Because the Bible is full of prayer. It's full of it. So I can't go into a depth on this. Like I said, if you walk past the bakery and you smell that bread, you're not going to walk out there with not with a loaf. You're going to walk out there with 2 loaves of bread. Because it just made you hungry. And that's all I want to do tonight. I just want to just create a awareness. I just want to create something that you want to go, sheesh, maybe this prayer is not so bad. And can I start off with exactly what Nick echoed? Worship is not for God. I want to start off by telling you prayer is not for God. God does not need your prayer. You need prayer to God. Okay. Prayer is... to love. Prayer is filled by our love for God. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us. And prayer needs to be the center of our devotion. There's no healthy devotion without prayer. It must be part. For anybody that listens to Greg when he talks, one of his non-negotiables is prayer. It's a non-negotiable. Friends, and that's something we need to just birth in our hearts. It needs to be a non-negotiable. Let's have a look at the prayer life of Jesus. He is our greatest example. Number one, Jesus prayed early in the mornings. Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. We're entering into winter, so it doesn't matter what time you wake up, it's dark. Okay, it's going to be horrible. We're entering that, I don't like winter, especially not in Joburg, CCM. Just smell all the dirt and just look at the mine dumps and, oh, it's not nice. But Jesus woke up early in the mornings. You know what? He knew what it was to give his first fruits to God. To start off in conversation with God. Friends, can I tell you that it's something you and I need to stir in our lives, that we cannot go into the day without spending that first fruits with our Heavenly Father. Does he need it? No. You need it for your day. You need it for that meeting. You need it for just seeing your boss that day. You need it for that person that's sitting next to you. You need it for school. You need to spend time with him. So Jesus, early in the mornings, he went out and he prayed. Jesus prayed in solitary places. He rising, same verse. He went to desolate place. He went to a quiet place. Now, I stay in a two-bedroom flat. I've got three women in my life. There's no quietness in my house. I've got two little girls. Trust me, if they wake up, it's like the whole building wakes up. So that's why in the morning it's so nice when you can go and it's quiet. Go to a place. Friends, find that place in your life where you know I can just take time. I can take the cell phone. Eh? I can take my iPad. I can take my electronics. I can just switch it off. Just put it aside for a bit. You don't have to follow Twitter that morning. You don't have to look at Instagram. My wife, you don't have to look at Pinterest. Okay? You can just say, I want to come to you, Lord. I just want to spend this time with you. In the quiet, I just want to enter into your presence. Jesus prayed after work. Immediately, Mark 6:45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. Now this verse is just after Jesus was feeding the 5,000. He was working big time. He was ministering to 5,000 people. Now if you have a restaurant and you feed 5,000 people, you're smiling big time. But you know what? You're going to be very tired afterwards. I'm 100% sure, Jesus being 100% man, it takes a lot out of you to minister to 5,000 people. What did he do? Did he just go collapse and just relax? No. He said to his disciples, go so long. I need to go and pray. Jesus knew what it was to strengthen himself up again, to go to his Father and to speak to him. Friends, how many times do we, what do we do when we get home? Eh? I don't want to know. We get up, we just kick our feet out, we just, oh, I'm home. Relax. Put the TV on, whatever we do. Can I say, can we maybe look at Jesus' lifestyle and say, maybe there's something I can take out of here. When I get home, I'll be with you now. 5 minutes. Just go to your room. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you're inside of me. Thank you that you're still with me. Jesus prayed in the midst of success and popularity. Luke 5:15. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. How many times have we seen youngsters getting fame and sportsmen getting fame and just getting so popular, and even businessmen, hey, you start to get all these deals and things become, wow, I'm actually not too bad. Jesus never, ever, ever boasted about himself. He made sure that he stayed humble to do what? To go back to his Father and prayed. In the midst of being popular, crowds came, they heard, and they rushed to get to Jesus. In the midst of that, he says, you know what? I'm going to withdraw, and I just want to spend time with my Father. He made sure that his roots was with God, and he stayed humbled. Jesus prayed to make major decision. This one for me was just, I don't know, I'd opened my eyes. Luke 6:12, in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And verse 13, and when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12. This is where Jesus chose his 12 disciples to walk with him. He prayed all night to make that decision. We're talking about Jesus that knows everything. He made it so important that he prayed the whole night to make that decision. Friends, what do you and I do when we make decisions over our lives? Do we just make the decision in 5 seconds and say, done, I'm going to do this? I've got friends now that's got kids that needs to go to high school. Now listen to all of them. I need to get my kids into this school. I need to do this. Have you asked God where he wants you to put your kids in? We make decisions for our families. I'm just going to get up and move because this country is going to the... Have you asked God if that is what he wants you to do? Have you seeked his face for a whole night and say, Lord, I'm making this business decision. I'm going into this direction. Is this what you want? You know what, friends? So many times what we do is we make the decision and we say, God, please bless what I've chosen. It's not how it works. That's not how it works. You need to seek God's face. Men, seek God's face for your family. Seek God's face for your families. You need to hear from God in what direction you need to go into. Not just get up and say, follow me, we're going there. Why will they do that? Because I heard from God. Then it's very easy for your wife and your kids to say, I'll do it. Because in the midst of anything, when it goes a bit rough, when you go through the valley of shadow, you know what? You're still holding on to what God said. Because he said you must do this. So you can hold on to that. But when you and I make the decision and then we go, oh, it's not working. Lord, please help me. And he says, I've never said you must go there. I never said you must go there. Jesus, before choosing his disciples, he prayed. Friends, let's make sure any decision that you and I make, let's pray about it first. Get God's peace in your heart before you do anything. And then Jesus made prayer a habit. Luke 22:39, came out and went as a custom to the Mount of Olives. As a custom. It was just his lifestyle. Prayer was part of Jesus' lifestyle. It's a habit. Now I know you get bad habits. You know what? This is a good habit. What is another good habit? For you to get up in the morning and put clothes on. It's a good habit. To go to work in your pajamas is not a good thing. It's a good habit. Let prayer become a habit in your life. Do it over and over and over again. Let it become a good habit in your life, friends. Like exercise, hey. It's a good habit. Nick and I was talking about it. If there's any of these CrossFit guys coming to catch me and Nick, you better, we're going to run for it. Eh? But make prayer a habit in your life. Let it be something that you do out of a habit, and not a bad habit, a good habit. It was the habitual prayerfulness of Jesus that made the disciples long to be taught to pray. In Luke 11:1, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, please teach us to pray. Because they saw everything that Jesus was doing. They had a look at his lifestyle. They had a look at him early in the morning. He goes, they're going this way. Where does he go? He's going to pray. In the midst of the crowds being there, he goes one side, he goes and pray. So the disciple says, listen here, there's something in this. And they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that's what I just want you to open with me in Matthew 6. We all know this. Matthew 6 from verse 9 to 13. The perfect prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Friends, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. This prayer, Jesus didn't teach them what to pray, but he taught them how to pray. I don't know if you, I come from a very Afrikaans background, and I remember in school, I think it was almost every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you had, assembly. And I remember, and maybe there's some of you that will recall that, het die hemelse ons Vader opgesê. Remember that. And it just became like a thing. You had all gaan staan en onze Vader wat in die hemel is, laat U naam geheilig word, laat U koninkryk kom, laat U wil. You said that. But I realized over and over and over as I read this, it's not in what we say. It's what Jesus was teaching them here, how to pray. Go with me and look at this. Verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts off with adoration. Jesus saying, first of all, it starts off with adoration. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Great is your name. We start our prayer with a sense of intimacy and union, not guilt and condemnation. It's out of that love that we start our prayer. Guys, and listen, because I'm going to touch on that now. You don't start with your shopping list. And isn't that what we do, hey? We start with, Lord, I need this, I want that, help me through this day, amen, cheers. No, 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 no. Jesus say, this is how you pray. You start with adoration. You go to verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surrender. Adoration first. Secondly, surrender. Yes, friends, and that is something in church circles, that's something with friends that I hear people say. You know what? I honestly believe this is a very difficult thing to do. To say, Lord, I just surrender my whole life unto you. Friends, are you really surrendering everything unto him? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. It's a difficult one. We surrender our will, our desire, and emotions to him, accepting his ways and his will. God's reign, kingdom, and rule must be evident in our lives. And then, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give. This is where we go. Guys, we still serve a God that knows everything. He knows the hair on your head. When it falls off, he knows about that. He's still a God that wants your everyday life. You need to come to him. We've got needs. We've got desires. We've got things that you and I are battling through. Finances. Emotional things. Everything that you and I are going through. Lord, give me my daily bread. You can come to him. But that's not how we start. But you can come to God. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive. Forgive. Friends, when you ask God to forgive you for your sins, and you realize how you messed it up. This morning, Kurt was preaching that sinners standing next to Jesus. Friends, when you and I realize how we messed it up and Jesus forgives us, it needs to shift in our hearts that we need to forgive those who sinned against us. We can't carry that thing in our hearts. We can't walk around with grudges of other people, what they've done against us. The chances are they've moved on long ago and you're still sitting in it. Friends, as Jesus forgives you, forgive them. Forgive them. Set them free. Let it go. Make peace with it. Okay, forgive. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver. Deliver. Submit to his mercy, his grace, and his truth will lead to deliverance. And then we finish it off again with adoration. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. End the prayer again with adoration, knowing he is our everything. He alone is worthy of all praise, worship, and adoration. Adoration, surrender, give, forgive, deliver, and adoration again. Friends, it's just a pattern that Jesus said to his disciples, yeah, follow this. It's how you pray, it's not what you pray. And I just want to finish off with three things that I just want you to put, just put it somewhere in your heart. Three things. Inward prayer, upward prayer, outward prayer. Inward prayer. This is when you open up your life before God. You say, Lord, this is who I am. This is how I feel today. This is what's going on. I just want to surrender unto you. Jono said it when he brought the word. He says simple prayer. And that's exactly what it is. It's simple prayer. Friends, and then in this, I want to tell you, it's not the nice words that you say. It's not how things come across. is just being real before God. Say, Lord, this is where I am at. This is how I feel. This is what's going on in my heart. Matthew 6 verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their rewards. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they've been heard for their many words. Jesus teaching the disciples just before this, and he said to them, don't stand on the corners and just pray all these nice things. Don't just go and say all these awesome things. Again, go into your quiet place and pray unto me. The God of secrets will know exactly. Friends, and I say it again, does God need you? Does he need the prayers? No, it's for you. It's for you. Okay. Be real with God. Invite him into your everyday walk. I remember working at Staff in Need, and I had a colleague sitting next to me. His name was Jonathan Isaacs. Yes. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've seen him. He's something else. He is something else. I was just busy. I've got timesheets in front of me. I've got to give this to the payroll ladies. They are screaming. They are shouting, DJ, we need this stuff. We need to. Jonah, DJ, let's go pray quickly. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I've got all this. DJ, come, let's go pray quickly. I'm like, yes, must I throw a shoe at him? I've got safety shoes. It's hot. I'm going to throw a shoe at him. No, let's go pray quickly. Fine. Because I'm a nice guy. Let's go pray. So, and then, you know, Jonathan, he doesn't just, he needs to walk like a whole block. So we walk around the whole block, get someone who quickly prays for him, save them, get them healed, everything. And then we carry on and we pray and we walk. And you know what? I just get back and all of a sudden, my work just goes quickly. Everything just falls in place. Why? Because my everyday walk with God needs to be a natural thing. It just needs to be a flow with God. It's not, I need to pray now, I need to go home, and then, you know what? God wants to be in your everyday walk. Prayer needs to be something that you say, oh, I've got a meeting at 10. Let me quickly slip in here. Lord, I've got a meeting now. I'm not sure how to handle this. I need your wisdom. Help me in this. Carry on with it. Just simple. Just simple. You know what? Jesus wants to be in every detail of your life. Isn't that why he said to his disciples, it is good for me to go because I'm sending the helper. Every day of our lives, we've got him living inside of us. He's here. He's with us. Access that, friends. Make use of him. He's with you. Why would you want to do it alone? Why do we want to battle through things? If he's right there. It's like he's saying, just give me that steering wheel. Let me just drive. I want to do it. But you and I are like, no, no, no. I'll be in control of this thing. Every day, our everyday walk, he wants to be part of your life. Okay. Psalm 51, from verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit, and a renewed spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. This psalm David wrote when Nathan approached him and said to him, "Boet, jy droog gemaak. You messed up." That incident with the lady on the roof, you remember that? David, you remember that? And he goes, oh, gats. You know what? He was the king. He could very easily say, you know what? Let's just get rid of this priest. Let's just do the same that I did with that with her husband. I'm just going to get rid of him. He could justify who he is. David didn't do that. He immediately opened up his heart. Immediately, he went and he says, you know what? I've messed up. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Friends, all of us are going to miss it. All of us are going to, somewhere in our lives, No, somewhere in the day, we're going to mess up. It's so easy. You just go back to God. Why? Because He doesn't put heavies on you. He wants to set you free. He wants to walk with you every step that you take. David knew that, hey? David had ups and downs. If you read through the Psalms what he is writing, then he's up there, then he's down here, then he's running naked in the church, then he is up here, then he's... But you know what? He knew he could always be open with God. The word refers to him as a friend of God. David was a friend of God because his heart was open. When he messed up, he could say, I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And he carried on. Second thing, upward prayer. This is prayer of adoration, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Praise and worship is not coming here on a Sunday and singing three songs and let the guy preach and we go home. Praise and worship is when we realize who we are praying to. When we get the full revelation of who He is. When you wake up in the morning and you realize, you know what? I actually shouldn't have been alive this morning. But because He allowed it, I am alive. Because He is the air that I breathe. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. I can drive in my car to work and I can praise Him. I can worship Him. In my workplace, I can thank Him. I can praise Him. I can worship Him. Upward prayer is when you and I realize who He is. When He opened up our eyes to the full understanding that He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Great I Am. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. It's when our eyes open up that we realize, sure, I'm standing in front of awesome God. That's when David can write Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Again, David realized who this great God is. And that's why he can write this. That's why he can pray this. That's why he can say, I lift my eyes up to the Maker of heaven and earth. Because he knew who he was. Friends, in our walk, can we not just ask God, God, just reveal yourself to me. Lord, show me who you are. Just give me a glimpse of your glory. Just give me just that small touch of who you are. And friends, your prayer life will change dramatically. Because you know what? Many times we pray with our problems this big and God is that big. But when you start praying this big God and you're confessing Him, it just changes like this. Because all of a sudden you see, wow, this is where my God is. All of a sudden this problem doesn't look so big anymore. Because the Maker of heaven and earth that spoke a word is on my side. He's living inside of me. Upward prayer. Lastly, outward prayer. Transformation and intimacy will always lead to ministry. Inward prayer and upward prayer will always lead to outward prayer. Inward prayer, settling here, let God change you. Upward prayer, thanking Him for who He is, realizing who He is, will always lead to outward prayer. And that's something that we, as New Day, need to tap into. And I want to say to you that I've experienced this in New Day like never before. And the guys that's been here for very long will know that when there's prayer meetings and you come to those prayer meetings, God sometimes gives the blueprint of where New Day needs to go in those times of outward prayer. In those times where we gather as a family and we start seeking God's face for what He wants for Edenvale, what He wants for this New Day family, God opens up and He gives a blueprint of what He wants us to do. Outward prayer. That's why we will never stop. Let people come and we'll lay hands on them. We'll lay hands on the sick. We'll pray for salvation. We will always go to the nations because we believe in outward prayer. We believe in ministering to people and getting people saved. Because this is not something we can contain. It's not something we keep to ourselves. It needs to go out to others. That is why New Day will lay hands on the sick. We'll pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We'll allow God's activity to take place and set people free. We'll do that.